I believe in things being done decently in order. I believe when we come to communion service, we're here to have communion. You know, it's not just normal service. We're here to do something that we don't normally do. And I think we should just do that when we get to it. But before that, I think any gathering, we should speak on the word for us even, whether long or short, whatever the Lord would have for us tonight. So let's read, if you can turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I've got something that, to me, is, you try to think of it, and it seems pretty simple, and then when it comes to actually doing it, it seems kind of complicated. But I know if we'll just yield ourselves to the Lord, he kind of makes all the complicated things simple.
Amen.
Pretty good at that. Actually, the best. So, 1 John 4. Let's start right there at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist where you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Let me just read verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I'd like to preach tonight loving all of God.
Yeah.
Loving all of God. Bow our heads together. Again, if you have a need, lift that up to the Lord as we approach the Word, which is the source for all of our needs. He knows your hearts and he sees each hand. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for assembling the saints in this place, Lord. And though we know, as far as the world would think, that this is kind of foolish, Lord, for just a few people to come together. But Lord, right when we walked in the building, we knew that you showed up. Lord, and that to us, it doesn't matter what the world's got to say about it anymore. Lord, when you're here, that's where we want to be, Father. And I believe that the children of God have come, Lord, not to hear one another, even see one another, but to see you, Lord, and to talk to you, Father, and that we could have fellowship with you. For that's why we come to the house of God. And though we appreciate one another, Lord, if you're not there, it doesn't mean anything anymore, Lord. But I know and I'm persuaded that, Lord, you're here right now. For you said where two or three would gather, you'd be here with us. And Lord, not only do I know that's on the word and believe it in my heart, I can even feel it now, and I appreciate that, Father. I pray, Lord, that in this communion service, that we would approach it with the deepest of sincerity, knowing that, Lord, you were of the deepest of sincerity when you went to the cross, Lord, and we're here to remember that. Lord, let it just be so real to us, Lord, as we have communion again. Lord, and I ask first, Lord, that you forgive me, Lord, for even waiting this long to have communion. I felt checked about that, Father, and I want to apologize before you and the people, Lord. I think this is something we should do, Lord, in remembrance of you. It's the greatest event that ever happened, Lord, is when you died for us. And we want to remember that as often as we can. We love you, Lord, and appreciate you. Pray that you'll have the preeminence in this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Loving all of God. Now, the idea of God, and as we step back and we think of him and all his power and all his awesomeness, it's not too hard to begin to love him. At least the idea that we have of him, that God is this being that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all of all. He is the all-in-all. And is he worthy of praise? Yes, he is. Is he worthy of love? Yes, he is, just in that regard. But what hits the Christian different than the world is the world would worship a God like that if that's all there was to it. If he wasn't also God, that if you don't obey what he's got to say, you will perish, they might not have a problem with him. But when you start throwing that in there, that you know, he knows the only way and there's no other ways to get back. Then you start going, well, I don't know about this God anymore. I don't know if I want to worship him. That's what begins to separate the Christian from the unbeliever now. It's who God really is. And that's why we're going into this. Loving all of God. We can't just pick and choose what we want to love of God. If God has a characteristic as love, and we know that we just read that he is love, we have to love that. If it also says later on that he's the judge of all the earth, and then that contradicts in your head, well, your head needs to get uncontradicted because it's not true anyhow. He's the same God, and we have to love that part of God. If he's also the Savior, he also has to judge sin, or he can't be the Savior, because there's nothing to save us from. You hear me now? In order to love good, do you know you have to hate? What do you have to hate? You have to hate evil. There's no way to love good and to love evil at the same time. And there's no way to love part of God. You don't love him at all. That's why when God condemns this world, he says men will become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Because though they have some love for God, since he's not, they don't love all of him, they really don't love any of him. And it's just the same as me and my wife. If you knew that I loved her to some degree, but I love this other woman more, you would know that I really don't love her. And in all honesty, I don't love the other thing either. Because you can't serve God and mammon. You've got to make a choice. And if you're going to be a sinner tonight, I'll tell you what, you will be the best sinner you can be. There's no point in being a halfway sinner. Even God said that in his word. If you're going to be cold, just be cold. But I'm not in a group that wants to be cold. I'm not in a group that wants to be lukewarm. I'm not a group that wants to be kind of hot. I want to be on fire for God. I want my love for God to be so obvious that I can't hide it if I wanted to. Well, don't you want that for your wife and your husband? Don't you want them to just know you love them more than anything in the world and to think, where in the world did we get that desire? Is it came from God's love? Because God is the definition of what love is. Now, don't go around expecting the world to give you a good definition of love. They don't have a clue what love means. They think love says, hey, come here. You're awesome. You're great. Doesn't matter what you do. You're still going to get a paycheck. You don't even got to work no more for a paycheck. And that, our government loves us, don't they? And the whole time, what are they really doing? Milking you for everything you got. And then they'll think lust is love. And, oh my, we get to do this, we get to do that. And then one of these days, you got an illegitimate child, and then there's a big breakup. Before you know it, you're getting drained for all that you got. Some of us know that a little closer to home than others, but that's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Because I wish I could tell you how many times I say something, and about 2 seconds after I go, oh my. Is that brother really sitting there looking at me right now? Because I think y'all got enough faith in at least what God speaks to me that it ain't, Brother Andrew's premeditation that these things come out. But the Holy Spirit sometimes likes to encourage us. And he'll say it right down the line, right where you live, right where you know that I know, just to see if you're really believing or not. How many came to hear from God? And I believe you're hearing from God right now. If not, I guess I'm the most deceived man there ever was. Because I mean, y'all been getting free sermons for like months on end now. I just can't seem to study nothing, Brother Kent, and give it to you. God just comes and says, no, I mean, that's a good thought, and I'll take a little bit here, a little bit there, but I want to say this. And you know what I've learned? God's smart. He's got this thing figured out so much better than I ever could. I'm just going to go ahead and let him do it. Is that all right? And you know what? When you approach service, do it the same way. Don't come in here saying, well, God, you need to do this, and you're going to do it just like this. No, come say, God, whatever you want, I am here to accept it. Because sometimes it's just, wait, my son, wait, my daughter. Isn't it right? Sometimes it's like, yeah, I know it's tough, but I'm here to tell you, you're going to see it through. Because I already did it for you. And as long as you can withstand that little period of time, and you think, oh my, it's been years, it's been, and all these things, it seems so long, but look, we're looking at this, we got to learn to look at time from eternity. You can't even notice that amount of time anymore. Is that right? Our whole life isn't even but a whisper compared to eternity. And I thank God that he doesn't always make us wait and wait and wait, but sometimes he does. And I say, God, just give me the patience. That's why the Bible says, they that had faith and patience inherited the promise. You got to have both. You got to be able to say, God, I know it.
and it's true. And I don't even care if I don't feel it and I don't see it. It's true. I'm delivered. He comes by and he makes you think the same. No, I'm delivered. You hear me tonight? You got to sing this. Ah, what was that? I'm delivered. You're alive, devil. I just heard Brother Branham talking about that when he was having a healing service. And he was telling the same thing. He said, you don't pay that stuff no attention. That's just a lying devil. And all he could do is lie. We get a revelation tonight that the devil cannot tell you the truth. You stop listening to him. He can't. He can't make himself do it. He has to lie because that's what he is. He's a big lie from the beginning. He's the father of all lies. Now let's go into the scripture, and we're going to bring that right into this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So to sit there and you know, we're talking about love, and oh my, it's just this wonderful thing. It's goo goo gaga, and everybody's all right, and we just pat them on the back. And the same man, listen to me now, that said, God is love, said, try the spirits, for there's many false prophets. Goes to show you right there that the world lost the whole definition of love before they even got. Before they even got to first base, they had already left the game for that man. He says, try the spirits to see whether they're of God. Because if something's not of God, there's no way it's of love. Did you hear me now? If something you know is contradicting the word, I don't care how much it feels like you should do that thing. If it's against the word, you've left love because you left God. And it's so tempting to do that when we want to testify, isn't it? You want to be, and that is a desire in there. And as much as you can, yes, walk with those sinners to be an influence. But the second they go past the line, you've got to cut Sodom off and say, no, I'm not going down there. And your testimony of not doing it will speak volumes besides you kind of floating with them for a little bit. Then you'll begin to think, you ain't much different than us anyway. Do the same thing. You're trying to convert me to something. Well, what are you going to convert me to if I'm going to be the same thing anyways? No, the Bible's pretty plain. If you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom. And that's how we should have been. That's the real love of God, is telling people, you're a sinner. You're going to die and go to hell. And not because, man, don't fear me, and even as a pastor in the church. Don't fear the church. Don't even fear the message as far as doctrine. You need to fear the God that said that. Because what he says goes. And even if you've got a false interpretation of God or who he is and you think he's a big brute and all this thing, when it all comes down to the line, what does it matter anyways if you know he's in control of your life? Did you hear me now? And people will say, oh no, if that God ain't this way, then he ain't worth serving. You serve the government that you know is rotten to the core. He'll do whatever they say if you can make a few dollars. What's the difference? And it just goes back to predestination. That he that, and we just read it there, if they don't hear us that are speaking the word, they're of the world. They can't hear us because they can't hear God. And how grateful we should be that when we hear the word, we don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. We take it home. It's a part of us. We love it. And when you love the word, you're loving God. And you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you try the spirits. Because you love God so much, you don't want to displease him. I even had a brother talking to me. He said, we were just talking about some situation. And he said, well, I don't feel obligated to do that. And I began to think about it. And I didn't say it at the time. It didn't come to me at the time. But it came to me later on that, you know what? I don't feel obligated to do anything as a Christian. Obligated? That means I'm a legalist. That means I'm serving God because, oh my, you know, now he's a taskmaster. Now he's Pharaoh again, and he's just going to beat me over the head if I do something wrong because I'm obligated. I serve God because I love him, and he deserves it. I do it. Everything I do for God is willingly. He doesn't make me. He never has. Has God ever made you do something? And that's the real God, isn't it? The world don't see that. They don't want nothing to do with that because you know what it does? It takes the responsibility off him. Puts it back in your hands. Just like little children, you give them too much responsibility, they simply can't handle it. You know, and that's really where our nation's going, and we can just hit on that for a minute. When we give all our responsibility to the kids and the parents don't want to tell them when they're going to eat or what they're going to do, and don't do that, don't hit Susie, don't do these things, and you should do this. And instead, the child has to investigate all of those things and figure it out herself. And what's going to happen is he's going to go crazy. He can't handle the burden of responsibility. He needs a parent to tell him, look, no, don't steal the cookie from the cookie jar. Look, no, don't hit Susie because she said something mean to you. Turn the other cheek. And how many know that you're a little child and it's the same way?
Right.
No matter how old we get, still God's still saying, hey, don't hit brother so-and-so because of what he did. Let him go. And it seems foolish, but doesn't that hit home real quick? Saying, man, Lord, every time we think we're going up, we realize, nope, got to start over. And you know what? That's all right. Because we're the children of God. And we're predestinated to be conformed into the image of the Son. And as long as you can recognize that, you know, you got to keep going back and going back and going back. You're going to be there.
Amen.
The fact that you keep going back and you're enduring proves you're a son and not an illegitimate child.
Right.
Because the ones that can't handle the correction, the ones that can't handle what the Word's got to say, you really can't handle God that you think you love because you only partially love Him. You don't love all of Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 2 there. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. And actually, 1 John, I might even go into this here. I'm just going to brief over it now, but I love how he uses the word know so many times. It's too much of our theology is I think, or I believe, or I kind of feel. No, I like things that I know.
Right.
I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's going to keep me to the day.
Amen.
I didn't guess. I'm not thinking it. I know it because why? He took my place so I could have his.
Amen.
I'm born in the Spirit of God. I was changed from death unto life. You don't have to believe it. I was there.
Amen.
When it happened.
Amen.
And I'm different. And not just any kind of different. I'm back to the Word different.
Amen.
There's something in this that I can't help but want to be it. Because it's me.
Amen.
It's my very character. Hallelujah. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Amen.
We're beginning to realize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he doesn't just live in his own corporal body, but he's got a whole body, a whole mystical body, which is the believers.
Amen.
And every believer has a portion of God. And they actually had it since the foundation of the world.
Exactly.
The only
right.
thing the new birth does is quicken what was already there.
Amen.
And that's really the difference in the message of the hour and being Pentecostal.
Sure.
Because they'll receive the Spirit of God on them, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what's going on. They just feel good, or they might have a good supernatural experience, and praise God for that. But there's got to be something deeper to the true Christian to know who he is.
Amen.
To know, why is this happening? What is quickening out of me? Why? And really, what quickens will tell you what you are.
Amen.
You got to be careful with that. If you begin to see things, as we said, every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus in the flesh is not of God. And you can do that to your brother and sister. That's why he starts going down this angle, because that's where Christians struggle the most. The sinner gets on them. You know what? Actually, kind of happy about it most of the time, ain't you? Oh my, living for the Lord, you know. And that's what the disciples were like when they were getting beaten and everything else. They didn't worry about that. They said, whoo! Praise God, we were able to suffer for the name of the Lord. That felt good. But let a brother do something. Whew. That's what God's called. You hear me today? Are you hearing me? And if it ain't happened to you yet, it will. And it will. And guess what? Paul's the one that got Stephen killed. Could you have forgave
him?
If Stephen was your brother in the church now, you went and you guys said he was your deacon in your assembly there in Jerusalem. And you know that this man is the reason your brother was buried. And then later says, oh, he got converted. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. And you know what? That's what they call it. That's exactly what they call it. Go on, undo it. And so they begin to get in contact with him. What they begin to realize, oh, the Spirit of God in this man. We know the Spirit of God because Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 4. Actually, let me go to, let's get down. Go down to verse 7 with me. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. How are we going to love God if we can't even see him? That's why John begins to talk about our brothers so much. Because if you can't love God who you haven't seen, how can you, or if you can love your brother who, or you hate your brother who you can't see, how can you love God who you've never seen? Why? Because you got to love all of God. And that includes brother and sister. And that's where we go, ooh, I don't know about this anymore, Lord. I don't know about this real loving thing. When I got to love all of them?
Yeah, all of them.
All the time?
All the time.
You don't want to make...
Yep.
Yeah, well, what about the...
Yep. 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 Yep.
When do you stop? You don't. Because why? We got to follow his example now. The love of God was manifested to us that while we were yet sinners, he died on the cross for us and became a propitiation for our sins. And if that life, if Jesus really is the same in the flesh as he was then... Look, that's the spirit of Antichrist, if you don't believe that.
Amen.
That spirit lives in you, and it has to do the same thing.
Amen.
Or you're Antichrist. You see how it's all coming together now? Maybe we're in for a little bit more than we wanted to chew, but hey, it's still good for you. I know the word was a little bitter when it hit the belly, but eat it anyways. It's still better for you. You're going to starve to death if you don't eat it, so eat it up. Eat all the word, isn't that right? Hallelujah. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's a mouthful. But here's the thing. Did John say this once? Twice? It's every verse. And let's just finish this out, if that's all right. And we have seen and do testify... verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And what did his Spirit do? It said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's the one that didn't set Jesus free when he could have been set free. Right? Couldn't the Holy Spirit just, boom, all in bed? Yeah, but why? The love of God was being demonstrated. And he knew that he had to die or we would die. And he's given us the same Spirit that we were more than willing to lay our lives down for the brother. Jesus said that. Greater love had no man that he'll lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus went even above that, and he laid it down for him. And that's really, to me, you can prophesy, you can heal the sick, you can preach the most anointed sermons of all time. If you can't do that, I have no confidence in your sermon. Because that's the crux of everything else. Because if it's not the right seed, the plant's wrong.
Amen.
Regardless of how much water's come on it, how much sunlight, how much growth it has, and all these wonderful things, and we appreciate all that, but we've got to have the foundation right. We want this thing to be right from bottom to top. Because you're not getting back the glory on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It needs to be the tree of life.
Amen.
Tree of knowledge of good and evil might look pretty tall, but I'm telling you right now, it stops. And we're not going somewhere that stops. We're going somewhere that don't stop.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Doesn't the devil make that old tree look pretty beautiful and easy, didn't it? You try to climb the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'll tell you what, there's an escalator on a whole way up. Drinks and refreshments halfway, and rest stops and everything else. The tree of life ain't got none of that.
Amen.
The tree of life's just got bark and branches. Get climbing. Lord, where's the nice footsteps? There ain't none. Get up there, son. If you're on the wrong tree, guess where you get to go? Go back to the bottom. Start over. And I'm glad he did that with me, because I didn't want to take nothing off that tree and bring it over to this one and corrupt it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That was pretty good. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hereby, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. But we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. This is the only way you will ever walk in Laodicea when everything's falling apart, and have boldness that it doesn't matter what happens, how many bombs they make up, how many earthquakes happen, that everything's going to be just right. If you have to have this, what he's about to say. Otherwise, you're faulty. We've already went through that in Hebrews. Everything that can be shaken, all you shook the earth with that big earthquake when Christ died. But he said, this time, all earthquakes, you'll be begging for earthquakes when I shake heaven. But why is he shaking it? He's getting down. He's getting all that junk off so he can have the one thing that's going to stay and stay. And that's his word.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, present tense, as he is living right now, the life that's in you is doing the same things that he is.
Amen.
You are now in this life. You walk just like he does. You say just like he does. You heal just like he does. You cast out devils just like he does.
Amen.
And you love just like he does.
Yes.
Now the same God that loved, now I'm going to keep bringing this in here in case you think you just get lovey-dovey and always just patting everybody on the back and don't never see no wrong, don't never talk about no wrong. Look, love has to talk about wrong because wrong will destroy people. And the Pharisees needed to hear, look, now that you've rejected me, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
Amen.
And when they chose.
Yes,
he knew when they did. You and I, maybe the Lord shows us here and there, maybe one time here, but I'm glad he don't do it too often when people make that last choice. I don't want to know. Is that okay? He's done it before. Paul turned around and said, you child of the devil, stop bothering me. Get out of here. Look, that happens. You should expect it. It didn't happen often, but it still happened.
Right.
Jesus looked at his Pharisees and said, you're of your father the devil, and his works shall do. Because they had already blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now, I know he said, you blaspheme me, but they, in their hearts, it was already over. Because Jesus could look past the all time. He heard, you mean, you're done. You're going the wrong way. And there was nothing he could do. And you mean he could live the same life? What was, did he want to save them? Absolutely. Why did he die for them? Would he have, had they let him? Yes. And I can prove that all the way back to Genesis. And I've said it, but I'm going to say it again. God gave Cain the perfect opportunity to have salvation.
Amen.
He turned it down, not God.
Amen.
God gave Esau the same opportunity. And he actually was one step ahead of the game because he already had the birthright. And he already had the blessing. He sold it out. Balaam had the gift of God and could hear from God. And it seemed even easier than Moses hearing from God, because Moses get all fretting and worried and scratching his head, and Balaam was like, well, look, I'll just go down here and just do it. He had a lot of faith in his gift. He'd done it before. He said, look, I'll go talk to God. He'll talk to me tonight. That's how he treated it. And you and me be like, Lord, I want that. Right? And we have it. I'm not going to take it from you now. You have it. Lord, open our eyes to notice that you're standing in the room. That you speak way more than we listen. Thank you, Lord. And Balaam went down there. He did the right offering. He got it all set up just the way and said, yep, God told me to do this. And he tried in his self-will. He was going to do the right thing. The problem is he didn't love God. And if you don't love God, you've already left it. As we said before, you left God, and now you're Antichrist. And he proved it. Went down and he said, okay, I'm going to leave here now. And then they came and said, hey, whoa. Let me tell you, there's money involved. Oh, hey, you didn't say that last time. I'll go pray again. And he did.
Sure.
You heard from God.
Uh-huh.
God said, well, you don't need to be doing this, boy. And he kept begging, and eventually he just he got this big old bruise. And he let this fireling prophet that he could have destroyed at any second twist his arm. Didn't he do it? You see, you got to realize how humble God really is. He is the very definition of being humble.
Amen.
I mean, you and me, and Lord help us, we try. We try to let him make us humble. But just when we get down to the bottom, oh my, we got to build a little up, you know. I'm pretty good at sometimes, you know. I can do this. But see, the Lord, he let it all down. You can't do this? He's like, that's fine. That's fine. You know, that's okay. And he even said, Balaam, you know what? Go ahead. Show him. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. It's not going to make God change his will about his people and about his word and all these things. But look, Balaam, if you want this, go ahead. Unbelief doesn't hinder God, but it does hinder an unbeliever. Okay? God doesn't want you to be an unbeliever. He doesn't want you to suffer the effects of unbelief. But if you want it, he will warn you and warn you and warn you. But one of these days, he's going to let you go. I'm happy he didn't let me. He knew how many times I asked him before I said, yeah, you're right, Lord. You're right. And we ate off that tree and I was going to eat and we realized, I might have tasted good for a few seconds, but who, when it hit the bell. And when I began to absorb it, and I go, oh my, and I'm slow and I'm apathetic and I can't do nothing right, and then I get selfish and all that. And then I began looking at this fruit and going, I don't want nothing to do with it. Give me that tree of life. Yeah, it didn't taste all that great like the tree of good and evil. It's not sweet and bitter. You know. It's got good flavor if you'll get an acquired taste to it. Lord, let my taste be all acquired to the word and not to anything else. Because your carnal appetite, it's not. They don't want nothing to do with it. And for me, let me just say it like this and make it real simple real quick. I don't like the taste of coffee flat. I think it's nasty. But I tell you what, there's some people in here who love it. My flesh don't want nothing to do with that. But if I drank it, and I drank it, and I drank it, and I drank it, my body would say, all right, we're going to do that. And that's just in a little shadow. Right. Let's go to real eternal life. And you think, oh my, it's just such a struggle to read the word. I keep doing it. Oh my, but I want to watch. No. Do this. I'm telling you, keep doing it. Keep the diet right. Eventually your body, and look, when we're talking the spirit realm now, your spirit body will learn to eat the right thing. And not want the evil anymore.
Amen.
Now you need the initial conversion, or you're never going to use this anyway. You're just going to be eating off that other garbage, and you're just going to love it, and that's what it is. That's your nature. But once you've had a nature change, you're still tempted, but it's not what you want. Right? Can you hear me now? That's another man trying to pull you to eat that stuff. But if you'll just, I'm telling you can whip the devil. And you can. God help us to believe it, that we don't have to put up with the flesh. And how many times do we sit there and exalt the flesh just as great enemy? No, I got a great God that already whooped it.
Amen.
Let's talk about that a little bit, that when I was on the cross in Christ, he was already crucified, that old man.
Amen.
He's already dead. I'm not going to resurrect him no more. He's gone. Let's talk about him that way from now on. So when he shows up, you realize it's just a mirage. You're not packing him to eternity or anything. He's gone. And same with that old devil. You can tell him the same thing. Tell him I told you to tell him. I hate that guy so much, I don't care. You're not eternal, buddy. You're not going to be around much longer. That's why he comes down in great anger when he kills the Antichrist. He knows then, oh man, this is about done. And that's why he has great anger. But I'm glad that it doesn't matter how much anger he comes up with. I'm saved, devil. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can't touch me.
Amen.
God, help us to believe that with all our heart. All our heart, all the time. Just believe it now, church. Don't ever go that other route. It's always the devil.
Amen.
Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh, your flesh is not of God.
Amen.
It's not.
Right. Yes, sir.
See how simple that is? And yet how powerful it is if you just apply the word to your life. Not that, oh, God came in Brother Branham. That's good. But that won't help you.
Right.
It's got to come in you.
Right.
Son of Man was revealed in our day. Yes. You too. You're Amen. Part of it.
Yes, I am.
Brother Branham didn't come to say, look, this is all there is to it. Come here. I was saying, look, this was given to me to give to you.
Amen.
And he wasn't afraid to demonstrate it. Neither should any servant of God.
Right.
They shouldn't be afraid when it comes down to the crux. You should go say, look, this God is God. And he is mighty in battle. I'll tell you that right now. We don't go looking for fights, but when fights come, God don't back down.
Amen.
He knows who he is. Hallelujah. Let's get back here for a minute. Whosoever, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. How many believe Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
Now take that scripture home. God dwells in him. What? That simple? Yes! Hallelujah. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and He that loveth or dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And what is so powerful about this love? There is no fear in love.
Amen.
But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And if you're saved by a righteous fear, which could be good, it could be good if you keep the love of God as your foundation. It's all right to have that as part of the house. I hope you hear me. But if your foundation is, you just fear the Lord. And even just respecting him, that's good, but he's still, that's not what God wants, then you'll have torment. I warned you, you will. You will. You will absolutely have torment. You'll have enough religion to make yourself miserable. Because you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and you get your little checklist down, and you're going to get this done every day, and what happens? You fail, you fail, you fail. Then you begin to think that the flesh that's failing is who you are.
Right.
And it's not. It's a lie, because that's the Antichrist. That says that Jesus Christ is the coming of the flesh. Yes, he is. He's coming on. He's coming yours. And he's here to stay.
Amen.
And if you'll just stay saved by the grace of God, you can walk in love with God.
Amen.
When you can realize that he knew your sins when he gave you the Holy Ghost, past, present, and future, and he still gave it to you. And he's not an unholy ghost. He's a holy ghost, which means you have to have a holy vessel or he can't come in.
Amen.
So if he came in, that means you were holy. And don't even try to reason with that. We just need to believe it.
Amen.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, because as he is, so are we right now, because he became us. He sent the Son down. What was that? God became a man.
Amen.
To be the propitiation. He made the link that you and I are trying to form all the time. He already did it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We love him because he first loved us. How many believe that? From your heart, how many love God?
Amen.
You're not a part of them, all of your brothers, your sisters, the ones that's cursed you wrong, and you know that they've probably got a wrong spirit. I can read some quotes, but I think I'll just paraphrase them. I didn't mean to go this long. Brother Brandon talks about that maniac that came up. How many knows the story? He came up and challenged him and said, I'm going to knock your teeth out and all this stuff. Brother Brandon said, I didn't hate the man. I got past that. I said, my, if he didn't have that demon spirit, he loved me. God help us. Because you can identify a devil on somebody, and it still might not be good to call him a devil.
Amen.
You don't cast out devils hating the devil. You cast out devils loving the person. To love that, I'm talking foundation now. You're gonna hate the devil, okay? You're gonna, but you gotta have the foundation that you love that person so much that it'll create a righteous indignation, because you'll be so passionate about loving that person, wanting to see him free, wanting to see him delivered. You can't help that. Get out of here, devil.
Amen.
We need to stop praying devils out. The Bible told us to cast them out.
Amen. Speak it. Hallelujah.
I pray to God. I talk to God. I put my position. I tell him what I want and things like that. I pray to him. I don't pray to the devil.
Nope.
I tell the devil what he's going to do.
Amen.
So that's kind of proud. You're looking at the wrong Andrew right now. I'm talking about the one that's in Christ, that was already redeemed, that's already sitting in heavenly places, that's already got a throne and dominion, and it's over every other name.
Amen.
In the name of Christ. And when I say in the name of Christ, the devil knows that I'm talking about me in the Lord. You know, I'm going to be honest with you as far as just me personally. Why do I want to be hired and be able to lead people and have faith for things? It's not because I want you to look to me. It's I know it can help you. When Sister Sharon came up here, I would say probably a few years ago, I wouldn't have had the faith to grab her arm that was hurting and pull it up and say, you're going to be well. But because I allowed the Lord to teach me these things, just do it.
Amen.
Just do it. He said, heal the sick. Just do it. He said, cast out devils. Just do it.
Amen.
And I began to raise my faith to realize, look, if this doesn't happen, it's not on me now. She's a believer in the message of the hour.
Amen.
It's going to make it seem like the message failed. You hear me now? And when you begin to think that way, you go, huh, God ain't going to let that happen. Let the flesh go, church. Just let it go. It ain't worth it. You're not being humble. You're just glorifying the devil.
That's right.
And he goes, As much as God deserves glory, the devil sure don't.
That amen. Much.
Now, verse 20, I'm going to bring it to here, and we're going to try to close and get into communion. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Brother Branham says this, as possessing the gates of the enemy after trial, 64. Young people, you young girls, young boys, just turn into life, please do that. Hear me as your brother, one who loves you. I'm here because I love you. I love God, and I love you, and I cannot love God if I don't love you.
Okay.
I would a lot rather, if you had a comment to pass it on to my son out there or one of my children. I'll go without it. Any parent will do it. So will God, see? Love his people. Love one another. 55, Elijah. Now, everybody wants to be loved. I'll tell you the truth, I do. I want God to love me, and I want to love the people. I want the people to love me. That's exactly the truth. And if God loves me, then the people will love me. And if I love his people, then he will love me for doing it. God would rather I'd love you than love him. I'm letting that sink in deep, because we get too much in a rut sometimes. Think, well, I love God, I love God, I love God. And you don't do nothing for someone else. And he explains here, and this makes perfect sense, God would rather I'd love you than love him. Did you know that? I'd rather you love my boy back there, no matter what you say about me. I want you to love my children. And any father would think that. So Father God thinks the same thing, for he said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my little ones, you have done it unto me. So if you want to love God, just start loving all his children, and God will reward you.
Amen.
If you'll just love his children, that shows the love of God is in you. Jesus said, this is the way that all men, or that all the people will know that you're the children of God and pass from death into life, when you have love one for another, then you'll know it. Not because you can have a big church, that's all right. Not because you have a lot of fine ministers come by, that's good too. It's because that you have love one for another. And he talks about a revival. Let me just read that, I guess. Now, when this revival is over and you all go to your respective churches, we're not here to proselyte and tell you, oh, leave one church and go to another. You keep your church. Try to bring some sinners into that church. There's love for you. And too many times the message, we forgot that. We're just trying to, the message, people already came out, and we're pretty much in the Ark and Noah, and there's nobody else coming. You see what I'm saying? That's what we believe. And maybe we'll shift from church to church to church, but where's the new people? Where's the sinners that actually get the Holy Ghost? You lose sight of that sometimes. You keep your church, try to bring some sinners into that church. Then when you go back to your respective churches, go back with such a heart full of love, and that woman that you just couldn't stand, or that man, love him anyhow. They'll know you got something out of the meeting then, that's right. And if you don't do that, then you haven't gained anything yet, because you've got to have love one for another. Then the outside world will know that you've passed from death unto life when you have love one for another. Brother Branham tells a story, even the pastors loving even one another. He remember when he jumped in that pit and he was walking with the big bull ring that was there, and he got halfway into it before he realized that he was in a bull ring. You hear the bull start snorting, snotting over there. And he had to think, and I could read it, but he began to think, he was like, this is it, I'm done. Because the bull's only about 30 yards away, and that fence is about 250, there's no way I'm getting to it. He said, and then something began to move on. And began to love the bull. Boy, that's the love of God. Because the God that made the bull likes the bull.
Amen.
The God that made the bull loved the bull. That's why he made a bull, because he liked it. And he was part of his creation that he thought was very good.
Amen.
And that God began to move on this man. And look what the perfect love did. What did it do to his fear? It disappeared. And so I began to love the bull. And I said, bull, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come on your plane. This is your area here. I didn't mean to be here. But in the name of Jesus, go over there and rest. And I'll get out of your way. That it came running right at him. Look, there's always that test of faith, and that's where too many people just give up. Oh, I guess it wasn't God. Run. You're not going to make it that way, and he would have died had he done that. and we would have a message from whenever on. You hear me now? He began to love the bull, and the bull did exactly what he said, because it was the love of God that was real. It stopped. And the bull went stop. Same when he was mowing, and you all know that, when he hit the hornet's nest, and they covered him from head to foot, said the same thing happened. Said, I was just mowing here, you know, I didn't mean to hit your house. That's what you did. You wonder why they get mad at you when you don't want the house. You'd all be mad when I'm there. Anybody ever thought of that when you go through the garage with the broom and all spiders running? It's just tornado fuel. As far as they're concerned, you just wiped out the whole village. No wonder they're running and screaming and trying to bite and do all things. They're scary. But the love of God moved on him and saved his life. But I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean to bump into your house. But look, you can't impersonate that. You can't love a hornet that's trying to stab. Just as much as Jesus couldn't love a sinner that was trying to kill him if there wasn't the Spirit of God there. A carnal man can't do it. He's trying to live for himself. An eternal life. He's with brothers. And he had love for him. He said, just beelined right back in there. He went on his way. He even had his shirt off, he said, because he was out in the backyard and he was getting hot and he took his shirt off. Out there when he was mowing. So he would have been real important. Amen. Let's read this scripture. John or Matthew 5. You're all familiar with this, but I want to close on it. I'm here to love all of God, not just part of it. I want to love him from A to Z, Alpha and Omega, King of Kings, Lord, everything he is. Kent Ryan, Shazam, so I want to love him for everything. 5:44. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father. How many believe Jesus said this?
Amen.
How many think this applies to you and I all the time? Amen. Lord, grant to me that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Not even the publicans the same. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Not even publicans so. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And the same man, when John picked that up, said, herein is our love made perfect. What was it? That we between him. You're never going to have perfect love unless it's Christ's love, because there's no other love that's perfect. Everything else is tainted. Everything else has got jealousy involved or greed somewhere or just good feelings. They want to do you something else so they can feel good about it. That's not love yet. Love is saying, I don't care if I get any benefit from this. I'm doing it anyway. What advantage did Christ get coming and dying on the cross? What good did that do him? He had it. He said, Father, let me go back to the glory I had with you before I came here, before the world was. So obviously he was somewhere that was pretty nice. He was somewhere where he didn't have trials and temptations and struggles and headaches and pains and rejection. He didn't feel any of those things. Well, why did he endure all that perfect love with being rejected? Perfect grace, because he had already done chosen. And he was compelled by love to become saved. Hallelujah. And that's why I felt to go this angle, because we're approaching communion. And we need to know what it's all about. It is literally the love of God to us. The cross. Something that people I've heard old scoffers say that many times. Why do y'all glorify the thing that destroyed your leader? I mean, you got the control. That was the greatest thing that ever happened. Because when they thought they destroyed him, they saved everyone.
Amen.
When they thought they took the kingdom of God and tore it down, they just began to build it up.
Amen.
Greatest thing that ever happened. And I believe it's worth remembering. Often. Daily. Hourly. Lord, I'm standing right now because of your grace. I'm standing right now because you rejected love. All of us, I'm sure most of y'all can say, you should be dead. Especially if you had your own choice. Oh, yes. No, I wouldn't be. I'd have done something stupid and out of this world a long time ago. But God loved me. But he didn't even let me choose the wrong thing. He said, no. Love compelled him to take my place. Love compelled him to come to me in those darkest of hours and say, no, don't go that route. Paul said all things should be done peacefully in order. We shouldn't be going haphazard about things. We should know what we're doing and what comes to the Lord. As we approach the communion, I believe it's time to not worry about as far as what anybody thinks of you or what the world's got to say. But for you and personally, the tribulation of God, it's in God. I don't want nothing. Because I thoroughly believe if you really have a true relationship with God, you will begin to love others just out of your nature. Instead of struggling and fighting and trying and twisting yourself, well, I'm a Christian, I guess I ought to, pray for that or good and good strong up. Let's just leave it alone. It's when, you know what, I just care about that. And you can't put it on for God for me. God and let it live in me. That's why I tell us to judge ourselves. Am I letting the flesh get in the way? Am I putting my own thoughts to the Word? And that's why it ain't working. That's what it should be. Things like that. That's why we're here to take communion. Because now it's a showdown between you and God. Not us to try to get our tally sheets out and so much of that, but it's to find ourselves in the faith. It's to find ourselves, Lord, I'm putting everything in the blood because I can't have anything out.
Right.
I don't trust anything outside of the blood. I'll let it all go in. That's why you don't want that root of bitterness to be ready to reduce your meat to destroy them. That's why we keep being ready. Lord, you're good. Uproot it all.
Uproot it all.
And look, you can have this. So often we think, oh, it's just always going to be this way. You got funny feelings towards somebody? I'm telling you, you don't have to accept that. You can let it go, and God will change you.
Amen.
And you will see that person the way that you need to. A brother, a sister, a sinner that needs to save. Not the guy that's trying to kill you or destroy you. That's a rotten devil, you know. And always is. Every man, because he's made in the image of God, at least has a desire to keep doing it. When he gets to eat, he forsakes it, he gives it up, but there's always something. Hitler thought he was doing good. He thought he was ridden into the world of a problem, getting rid of these Jews and all this other stuff. He wanted just to be a nice place. He just shows you what happens when you don't give that to God, you give it to the devil.
Yeah.
He'll get you thinking, oh, kill them all. No. Get them out of Christ. That's what you need to do. Amen. I'm sorry for going that long, but let's start changing the order of the service a little bit. That's okay. I like to read this together, explain a few things, and then we'll go into the food service, and then shortly thereafter we'll do the foot washing. We appreciate the work, man. Amen. First Corinthians 11, and we'll start at verse 23. This is Paul speaking. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. And what that means is you're declaring that you know the crucifixion happened and what it was all about. And that's the whole foundation of everything you do, was the cross. You're declaring that when you take the Lord's Supper. You're showing, I am identifying with it, that without this, we wouldn't be. Amen. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And please don't stop reading that. Because a lot of times, you know what that'll do? None of us will take it. I wouldn't. But that's all I read. I wouldn't take it. Because I would say, no, I know I've done wrong. I know, you mean, I'm the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. I've thought things wrong. I've said things wrong. Have I made it right? As far as I know, I've done everything I know how. But I still know I did wrong. Read the next verse, it should give us liberty. But let a man examine himself. Not your neighbor, not the pastor, not anyone. You examine yourself. And so, let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He's not telling you not to. He said, examine yourself, then do it. Don't convince yourself out of it. So obviously, he's not trying to tell everybody, don't take this. He's saying, you just need to examine yourself first. Because if you don't, there's something that's going to happen. And he's like, that's what the love of God is, isn't it? That if we would sin, God doesn't convict us because he's just bullying us around. He knows what it'll do if we do it. It'll hurt us. So to stop us, he convicts us and we won't do it. It's the same with the communion because, and I'm just going to read. here, and then I'll explain a little bit more. But, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Take that home today. If you're willing to fess up your own life and say it, and Lord, I'm putting it in the blood and everything else, God will not judge you.
Amen.
It's over. There's nothing left. You're in Christ. You've already been judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I just explained, that's why you feel conviction, so you don't be condemned with the world.
Amen.
God wants to save you. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And what he means there is the Corinthians actually had a real big problem with communion. They were eating it because they were hungry. And they ate a lot. And they drank a lot to where they said they were drunk and gluttons. I haven't yet seen that as a problem in the message. I'm glad. But that, yeah, we look and shake our heads, but hey, stuff, we've done worse in different angles. You know, I'm a Apollos, I'm a two soul, I'm a seven thunders. I'm a Reaganite, I'm a this, I'm a that. You know, you're a Christian or ain't nothing.
Amen.
It's just stupid, really. You're being stupid. And it's the same when he's telling the clergy. You wonder why you got people sick in the church, why you got people dying over here and all that stuff. It's not supposed to be. You're not taking the risk of the Bible. So he said this, and I'm glad he said it this way. He said, I will set an order when I come, because every church was solid. They could do the community service the way they wanted to. And, you know, we got other churches around here, they would do it a little bit different, and that's fine. That's apostolic. But we want to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's one of the three things that he told us. Water baptism, he told us to do this. Communion, he told us to do it. And foot washing, he told us to do it. Those are three, we call them rituals, or whatever you want to call them, but the three things that he told us, do these things. And he wants to do that tonight.
Okay.
We change the order of the service now for communion. We're going to do it just like what the Bible says there. We give time to judge ourselves. And I don't want you to spend hours and hours and hours. I'm going to just be on the back in control of media. And after so long a time, I'll just get up and I do want everybody to want to be in order. Right? I understand. But get it all out. The second you've got it all out, you're done. Okay? Don't let the devil come in. Say, Lord, I'm sorry to that. Sorry to that. He's done. You hear me tonight. I'm trying to make sure you understand what I want us to do is examine ourselves and say, Lord, I put it all in the blood. Dad, you want to play music whilst you pray any way that you like? Because it's still a season here at all.
Lord, ourselves, that you did it for us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to partake in of these symbols, Lord, and pray that you bless this bread as we ask it to be sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ. And we partake of it, Lord, may you just wash us, Lord, of anything that's in you. So we love and appreciate you, Lord, and ask this blessing now in Jesus Christ's name. So grateful for what it stands for. But without that blood, Lord, we would have had to go to judgment, Lord, we would have had to die and just be in prison the rest of our existence. But we're so happy, you know, the blood was shed, Lord, and that's on the doors of our hearts, and you changed us from death unto life. We're here to recognize that it was such a terrible thing for you to do, such a hard thing, that you even tried to pray that there was some other way that you could go that way. But we're happy, Lord, that you did it anyways. Took our place and let your blood be shed. We're here to say thank you, Father. Lord, we ask that you'll come and bless, sanctify this wine now to our bodies. And we just take it in remembrance of that precious blood. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Passover, and Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Don't you have to do that? Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Jesus' spirit, Simon, son of Betrayal, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands when he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. I'm so glad it said verse 3. He had recognized that he was in control of everything, that he had all power, all authority, and still his next action was to serve men. See how humble this God really was. Verse 5. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Aren't you glad God don't listen to us? Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash them. Needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every way. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. See, that don't apply to you and me. We are clean. You hear me? He said, the only reason he said that is because Jesus. So after that he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Master and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. And if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. That's right. I speak not of you all, and know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Jesus is doing something that the world, all their great leaders, all their great, you know, if they want to say it's a cult and all these things, just goes to show that the truth of Christianity is the exact opposite of all that, because our Master and Lord was able to take himself after he recognized his power and authority and humble himself to the lowest job there was at the time and said, I'm going to wash your feet. To where Peter, a good old legalist, said, not mine, Lord. I'm the one that's unworthy. Don't wash my feet. John the Baptist had the same response. Why am I baptizing you? You need to baptize me. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, he got down, he washed their feet, and showed who he really was. They had seen his power, they had seen his authority, but now they got to see his character. And that's what he saved, or only his disciples. And as we express his love, even Jesus was still around. He still washed them. That's his character. He could have known, he could have called him out right then, and even when it looked like he was, they still didn't know who he was talking about. But that's the love of God. While you were Judas, a sinner, not by predestination, I'm talking about in the world, and you would have betrayed him just the same, he still got down, he took the dirty, rotten life, and he washed your feet. And he said, you don't have to wash anything else, you're free. Everywhere else. And he did it for us anyhow. And how much easier should it be for you and me to wash one another's feet, knowing that that's what he did for us. And that's why we do it. And I like to say a few things. We're going to have the sisters go in there and try your best. And there's three of us, or four sister nurses in there. You know, I know we got the children and things. Do our best to not take too long. And this is full washing service. That's what we're doing. Is that all right? Yeah. Not even necessarily just work. This is how we're worshiping right now, by washing one another's feet. And I believe it's good to pray for one another and things, but know that we are here to wash one another's the service. You know, God give us prophecy and all those things, yes, but I believe things should be said in order. While we're doing foot washing, we do foot washing. You know, we want to worship the Lord, and that's fine, all things, but as far as we'll come back together, and we'll worship the Lord together. Is that understood? What I'm trying to say. Okay? Because I could share experience.
experience. I won't be real personal, but we've had the demon things that happened and stuff when it wasn't. Think I'm crazy, but I'll tell you, it don't take but a little confusion, the devil can do it. He'll do it fast. So that's why I like to make sure we know we're all on the same page. We're in the sisters, we're right there, wash feet, we come all back in here, but we're going to wash here. And then we'll have a little relationship. So sisters, go ahead. You've got to take care of children, things, that's fine, I understand. We'll do that. Brothers, you can come forward. We've got the buckets right out there in the little vestibule area.
Thank you.
5:14 says this: if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. I'll let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. We believe that. We believe it's still the scripture today. I want to ask my brother Steve Wes to come forward. Any brothers that want to come pray, please come now. I'll anoint him. And that's anyone. That's fine. Your sisters, I understand. My wife might be as well. And we'll gather together. And we'll anoint my brother with some oil. So I'll lay hands on and believe. Pray for him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our brothers, Lord. Lord, and we're fulfilling the word now that we just read. And we anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's committed any sins, you said they'd be forgiven. If there's any sickness, they'd be healed.
And
we believe, Lord, this is the head of a family,
and
the whole family, Lord, receive the same healing now, the same power of God. We believe it now, we agree together. We rebuke all the evil, Lord, that's come against my brother. May it all be destroyed, and may my brother be restored now. Band together in a band of faith. We ask it, believe it together now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
just praise him. Thank him now, church. Hallelujah.
You.
He's worthy.
Praise.
He's worthy. It's settled. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's simple. It's all. Thank you, blessed God. Before we go on our way, I want to sing. Sing this in a kind of more of a reverent way, but I know it was your blood. Make it. it personal. Yes, Lord, I know it was the blood. To be in the house of the Lord tonight. Remember, we service tomorrow at noon. Come expecting great things. Let it just feel good. Get all scared out, inside out, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the way we're supposed to feel. Serve one another in love, and when you love, it don't, it's not a gruesome thing. It's just, it feels good. You love, love. That shows you're a Christian. So, if you need to be going tonight, I'm going to go ahead and let you be dismissed and come expecting great things in the morning. You can stay and worship as long as you please. God bless you, saints. We love you.